Thank you.
Next case on the docket is case number 8984. Consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order extending the field boundaries and amending the field rules for the St. Demetrius Bakken Pool so as to create and establish two 1,280-acre spacing units comprised of all sections 1 and 12 and sections 2 and 11, Township 141, Range 99, Billings County, authorizing the drilling of one horizontal well on each spacing unit and or such other and further relief as the Commission deems appropriate. All persons interested in case number 8984, please come forward.
Mr. Examiner, my name is Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm appearing in case number 8984 on behalf of Continental Resources, Inc. If you'll notice, Mr. Examiner, there are a number of other Continental Resources cases on the docket immediately following case 8984. 8985 is a pooling matter, and we request that that matter be carved out. We'll deal with that separately, but cases 8984, 8986, 8987, 8988, 8989, 8990, 8991, and 8965, we would request that those matters be combined and consolidated for purposes of hearing. We believe we can expedite the hearing process if those matters are consolidated. We're going to have similar witnesses for all of the cases. There will be a few additional witnesses for some of the cases.
Okay. For purposes of hearing, we will consolidate case numbers 8984, 8986, 8987, 8988, 8989, 8990, 8991, and 8965. We'll handle those hearings right now, and immediately following, we will do the hearing in case number 8985. I'll go ahead and read the docket entries for each of these additional cases that we'll hear now. 8986 is to consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order extending the field boundaries and amending the field rules for the Sauk Bakken Pool so as to create and establish three 1,280-acre spacing units comprised of all of sections 8 and 17, sections 20 and 29, and sections 21 and 28, Township 159, Range 95, Williams County, authorizing the drilling of one horizontal well on each spacing unit. Case number 8987, consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order extending the field boundaries and amending the field rules for the Sadler Bakken Pool so as to create and establish two 1,280-acre spacing units comprised of all of sections 2 and 11 and sections 14 and 23, Township 161, Range 95, Divide County, authorizing the drilling of one horizontal well on each spacing unit. Case number 8988, to consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order extending the field boundaries and amending the field rules for the Stoneview Bakken Pool so as to create and establish a 1,280-acre spacing unit comprised of all of sections 24 and 25, Township 161, Range 95, Divide County, authorizing the drilling of one horizontal well on said spacing unit. Case number 8989, to consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order creating a 1,280-acre drilling unit comprised of all of sections 17 and 20, Township 141, Range 98, Billings County, authorizing the drilling of a horizontal well therein at a location not less than 500 feet from the boundary of said drilling unit. Case number 8990, consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order creating a 1,280-acre drilling unit comprised of all of sections 1 and 12, Township 160, Range 96, Divide County, authorizing the drilling of a horizontal well therein at a location not less than 500 feet from the boundary of said drilling unit, as an exception to the provisions of Section 4302.03.18 of the Administrative Code. Case number 8991. Consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order creating a 1,280-acre drilling unit comprised of all of Sections 1, Township 161, Range 95, and Section 36, Township 162, Range 95, Divide County, North Dakota, authorizing the drilling of a horizontal well therein at a location not less than 500 feet from the boundary of said drilling unit, as an exception to the provisions of Section 4302.03.18 of the Administrative Code. And case number 8965, to consider the application of Continental Resources, Inc. for an order amending the field rules for the Medora-Madison Pool so as to create a 160-acre spacing unit comprised of the northwest section, northwest quarter of Section 30, Township 139, Range 101, Billings County, authorizing the drilling of one horizontal well within said spacing unit not less than 500 feet to the boundary of said spacing unit, and providing such further and additional relief as the Commission deems appropriate. You may proceed, Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. What we propose to do with the examiner's permission is the packet of exhibits that we've distributed combines cases number 8984 and 8989, and then the next packet of exhibits combines cases 8986, 8987, 8988, 8990, 8991, and then the final packet of exhibits is for case number 8965. What we'd like to do, Mr. Examiner, proceed first with case 8984 and 8989, and then the we'll have three witnesses in that matter, and then we'll have the identical three witnesses in the next the cases, and then different witnesses for case 8965. With that in mind, if you have no objection, Mr. Examiner, we would proceed with cases 8984 and 8989.
Go ahead.
Okay. Our first witness in cases 8984 and 8989 is Mr. Jim Canna. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
What was the last name?
Jim Cannon.
Mr. Cannon, this is the hearing examiner. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Jim, would you state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Yes, it's Jim Cannon, C-A-N-O-N.
And Jim, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Continental Resources as a regional land manager.
And Jim, you've testified before the commission previously, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes.
And in preparation for today's consolidated hearings, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant land matters?
That is correct.
And have you prepared exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
I've had them prepared under my supervision.
Okay. And have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits, except for a few points where you're going to point out some errors?
Yes, I have.
Okay. We'd offer the further testimony of this witness as an expert.
Motion granted.
Jim, let's turn first to the packet of for cases 8984 and 8989. Let's go to the portion that is referred to as land exhibits and start with exhibit L1. Tell us what that is.
Yes, Exhibit L1 is a general locator map which identifies the proposed drilling and spacing units that are the subject of case 8984 and 8989. They're outlined in red. Of course, under case 8984, those would be proposed spacing units, and under case 8989 would be a proposed drilling unit. The general locator map also reflects in green the outline of the St. Demetrius field.
So with respect to case 8984, it's Continental's request that the field boundaries for the St. Demetrius field be expanded to bring in sections 2 and 11 and 1 and 12 to form two 1,280-acre spacing units. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And with respect to case 8989, it's the request of Continental Resources that a drilling unit comprised of section 17 and 20 be created. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And with respect to both of these cases, it's Continental's request that a horizontal well be allowed to be drilled on the 1,280-acre spacing units or drilling unit with locations to be located not less than 500 feet to the boundary of the drilling unit or spacing unit.
That is correct.
All right, let's go to Exhibit L2.
Exhibit L2 is a detailed land plat which reflects the ownership of the two sections, and it also reflects the division of tracts within the two sections.
And the two sections you're talking about are 1 and 12, which you're requesting to be brought into St. Demetrius, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and L3?
L3 is a ownership summary of sections 1 and 12. It reflects the working interest in the two-section area, and it reflects a working interest of Continental Resources of 66%, and also reflects the leasehold ownership within the tracts of the two sections.
L4
is a detailed land plat of sections 2 and 11. It shows the division of tracts within the two sections and the breakdown of mineral ownership within the sections.
L5?
Exhibit L5 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 2 and 11. It reflects the working interest in the proposed unit area. It reflects a working interest of Continental Resources, 66.34%, and also reflects the detailed leasehold ownership within the tracts.
And L7?
L7 is a detailed land plat of sections 17 and 20. It reflects the division of tracts within the two sections and also reflects the mineral ownership within the tracts.
And finally, L8.
L8 is a detailed owner summary of section 17 and 20. It reflects the working interest in the proposed unit. It reflects a working interest ownership of Continental Resources of 69.58%. It also reflects the detailed leasehold ownership within the tracts.
Now, Jim, all owners of interest in and under the proposed spacing units and drilling unit were given notice of Continental's application. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And to your knowledge, is there any objection to the proposed request of Continental Resources?
I have not heard of any objections.
That's all the questions I have for this witness.
Any staff questions?
Jim, this is Bruce. Well, actually, you don't need to answer this. Lawrence, my exhibits, I have two L7s. I do not have an L4.
And also, Lawrence, on my exhibits, I have L9 and L10.
Looks like L9 and 10 are just a continuation of L8.
Bruce, what was your
L4.
You didn't have one?
No, I have L7 in its place, and I have it again.
Okay. There. This back end exhibit has
L4, okay. So. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
It might be appropriate, Mr. Examiner, given the fact that we have an L9 and an L10, if I could just ask Mr. Cannon a couple other questions.
Yes.
Jim, can you go back to the packet of exhibits for case 8984 and 8989?
Yes.
Okay. And you see exhibit
L... Yes, I'm there.
Okay. And the next page is exhibit L9 and the next page is exhibit L10. That's just basically a continuation of exhibit L8. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for this witness? You can call your next witness.
Thank you. Our next witness is Mr. Neil Olson.
Mr. Olson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is the hearing examiner. Do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Neil, state your name for the record. Spell your last name, please.
My name is Neil Olson. My last name is spelled O-L-E-S-E-N.
And Neil, by whom are you employed and what capacity?
I'm employed by Continental Resources Incorporated as a geologist.
And Neil, in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously?
Yes, I have.
And you've had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes.
We'd offer the further testimony of this witness as that of an expert.
Motion granted.
Neil, let's turn to the packet of exhibits for cases 8984 and 8989. Let's go to exhibit G1. Tell me what that exhibit is.
Yes, G1 is a structure map on the top of the Bakken Formation. In addition to that, I am showing the outline of St. Demetrius Field, which is the light blue. There are a few other smaller field outlines shown there in a dashed blue line. And in yellow, I have highlighted the 1,280-acre units that we are applying for. In this case, section 1 and 12 and 2 and 11, that's case 8984, and we are also asking for a 1,280 Bakken drilling unit in 17 and 20 of 141 North, 98 West, that's case 8989. In addition to all the previous, there are well bores indicated on this map shown within Demetrius Field. They're shown, the well bore traces are shown in black. You can see that there's a mostly dual laterals, two triple laterals, and one single lateral. Also, I have an outline or a line of section for cross section AA primed, which is my next exhibit, on which I'll show the Bakken interval, which is our target zone and our specifically our target interval within it.
All right, let's go to that exhibit. I believe that's G2, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, let's go to G2 and identify that and tell us what's contained upon it.
Exhibit G2 is a stratigraphic cross-section hung on the top of the Bakken formation. On this particular cross-section, you can see it's overlain by the Lodgepole formation and underneath by the Three Forks formation. In this instance, we've got an upper Bakken, a middle Bakken member, which is dolomitic, and there is no lower Bakken shale. I have highlighted in green the portion of the middle Bakken member which serves as our target zone.
And Neil, is it your opinion that if wells are drilled in sections 1 and 12 and 2 and 11, that they will produce from the same common source of supply as other wells currently drilled and completed in the St. Demetrius Bakken pool?
That's correct.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Olson with respect to these two cases.
Any staff questions?
Neil, this is Bruce Hicks. It looks like your zone isn't quite as developed as you head off to the Armstrong-Valesky well. Do you expect any deterioration in reservoir?
Well, that's a very tough question to answer. On the basis of matrix and porosity, it's clear that there's a slight decrease. However, we feel that from previous experience with the Bakken, that fractures play a very, very significant role in terms of contribution, in terms of rate and reserves.
Over in section 19, next year, case 8989, there is already, a 1280 drilling unit established as 18 and 19. If those wells come in, do you expect to ultimately ask for this St. Demetrius area to be extended? I mean, is it all one common source?
I expect that all of this is a common source of supply, and I see no reason why St. Demetrius field could not be extended.
Thank you.
You can call your next witness.
Okay. Next witness is Gene Carlson.
I'm here.
Mr. Carlson?
Yes.
You promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Okay.
Gene, would you state your full name for the record, spell your last name?
My name is Gene Randall Carlson, and my last name is spelled C-A-R-L-S-O-N.
And Gene, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Employed by Continental Resources Incorporated, and I'm VP of Resource Development.
And you've testified before the commission on previous occasions, have you not?
Sir.
Pardon me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And in preparation for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of the relevant engineering matters concerning these consolidated matters? Can you hear me, Gene?
I have.
Okay.
I'm sorry I spoke, but my speakerphone's not picking me up.
Okay.
Maybe, how's that?
Yeah, that's a little bit better. Maybe just move a little closer to the phone.
Okay.
And have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of the exhibits that you intend to testify?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'd offer to further testimony of this witness as an expert.
Motion granted.
Gene, let's turn to the packet of exhibits first for cases number 8984 and 8989. You have two exhibits, E1 and E2. Let's start with E2. Tell us what that exhibit is and then briefly highlight what's contained upon it.
Yeah, this is a typical schematic
for our typical application of horizontal drilling to the Bakken program in North Dakota. As Neil has referenced on his exhibits, there are other wells drilled in a similar manner to this well in this area. We're going to basically not depart from that technique. And we're introducing an idea here of a generic exhibit to show that plan in a very generic way. And we would like to start using this as kind of a generic exhibit.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about it in terms of the generic exhibit, the casing settings and that sort of thing?
Sure. This exhibit here, specifically E2, shows that we would drill a well from a surface hole location near the east or west boundary of a 1280, and then would proceed east or west, whichever that is, at, to a landing of a 7-inch casing at a casing seat at a horizontal location in the Bakken. And then we would go ahead and drill out that lateral, which is indicated to go to the upper part of the sheet. And then later we would come back and set a whipstock and make a casing exit in the 7-inch casing and drill the second lateral to a position towards the south end, as portrayed on this exhibit, of the drilling unit. And then we would attempt separate frack jobs on this type of application for the well. We're also experimenting, and we don't want to confine ourselves to that 7-inch casing design right there, because we're also experimenting with techniques of drilling the 7-inch well and getting in the Bakken formation, and then doing our laterals, our lateral departures as open hole sidetracks. So, but this is a general description of the techniques that we're employing.
And the reason for presenting a generic exhibit is, as Continental continues to exploit the Bakken formation in North Dakota, we're going to have requests for 1,280-acre spacing units and drilling units, but no determinations will have been made probably up front as to the location of the surface. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We need the flexibility to apply the best technique at the time when we drill the well, and we don't want to over-restrict ourselves by what we put on the plan.
Okay. Let's go now to Exhibit E1, then, in case 8984 and 8989. Identify that exhibit for us and then briefly highlight what's contained upon it.
Okay. Exhibit E1 is, again, a departure from our normal procedure in presenting these hearings. As I just heard, Ann's Rose's presentation went into a detailed reservoir thickness, porosity, standard calculation of reserves in place, and what our belief is right now is that it is so unpredictable and very complex as to where this oil is coming from as we drill these horizontal wells. It's unknown the contribution of the shale, and it's unknown the contribution of the Middle Bakken limestone itself. At this time, we're studying it. The best thing that we can rely on here is a study that we've done, which helped us get involved in Montana, and it sets our expectations for North Dakota. The vertical wells completed in Montana versus North Dakota results in a 75% of attainment of the Montana reserves by the North Dakota wells. We believe that North Dakota is slightly different than Montana based on that analogy to the vertical performance. And since there have been so few wells drilled in North Dakota, we're honestly telling you that our expectation for the North Dakota Bakken in the aggregate basis is about 75% of the MB results that we've experienced today. And our study reveals that the typical MB well, if you will, comes in for about 400 barrels a day and recovers 500,000 barrels of oil. Accordingly, we have ratcheted down our expectations for a North Dakota successful well of about 300 barrels a day with the same decline shape. And that decline is a hyperbolic decline with an exponent of 1.5 with an initial decline rate of 85%, which recovers about 365,000 barrels over its life, which is the 75% reduction. The only departure we have from that is we're using the North Dakota 650 standard cubic feet per barrel rather than the lesser GOR that we're experiencing over in Montana. So we've basically taken the Montana average MB well, ratcheted it down by about 75% and applied a new GOR. So we're honestly telling you that our expectations are somewhat statistical rather than the presentation where we've made, and we can certainly do that, but I must honestly tell you that if we go back to height, porosity, all those kind of things, we're really kind of force-fitting it to an oversimplified geological description of the of what we're doing here. And so we're using a statistical approach, and this is our expectation.
Why don't you just briefly discuss the economics, even though they're based on the Montana analogy?
Right. Yes, this is what we expect for the economics of that well here in North Dakota. The oil price we used at the NYMEX was $49 a barrel, and the gas price used was $7 per MCF at the NYMEX and Henry Hub indexes. We took a 3% reduction in oil for the differential and a 15% reduction of in the gas differential to apply to the wellhead prices. An operating cost of $4,000 a month, and we also did this also generically 100% working interest with an 80% revenue interest, results in, as I said before, 362,000 barrels of oil. It was clipped short by the economic projection. And the EUR for gas would be 235 million cubic feet. The PV-10 for that investment that we would make would be about $3.6 million. And the internal rate of return, and I must make a correction here, Lawrence, in this exhibit, which you may see more of in the future if we're successful here, the instead of the rate of return at 10%, that was a typo. It's meant to be the internal rate of return period is 42%. So the rate of return of the investment is about 42%.
Now, Gene, even though you've utilized a what you called a generic wellbore schematic, which has been labeled as Exhibit E2, and you're using your analogy to the Montana Bakken development, do you have any doubt at all as to whether the horizontal drilling technique can be successfully utilized in this area that you're proposing to space and create drilling unit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't
I
have any doubt?
That.
Pardon me?
I believe that. Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't have any doubt that the horizontal drilling technique can be utilized?
No.
And in your opinion, if the horizontal drilling technique is successfully utilized, is it going to increase the ultimate recovery of the pool?
Absolutely.
And in that respect, is it going to prevent waste?
Yes, sir.
And will it also protect relative rights and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Sir.
So the questions I have for Mr. Carlson with respect to these two cases.
Any staff questions?
Gene, this is Bruce Hicks. I just have one question about your coplanar. If you did do a casing exit, you would always exit within the Bakken, middle Bakken itself. Is that correct?
If we did, what did you say, sir?
You would perform your casing exit within the middle Bakken.
Yes, you would already be horizontal at that level if we did that technique.
And any open hole side tracks, I assume that you just wouldn't set your casing out so far.
We would not have to set our casing out so far, but it depends on the build radius and everything like that. I do believe that that would allow us to scoot a little closer with our exit from the 7-inch.
And your 7-inch casing in that case would be set to the middle Bakken again?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Won't expose the light pole, if that's your question.
Thank you.
No other questions, you can continue with testimony in the next case.
Okay. The next cases are cases 89, 86, 87, 88, 90, and 91. Recall Jim Cannon. Jim, you still there?
Yes, I am.
And I'll have you turn to Exhibit L1. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, Exhibit L1 is a general locator map. which identifies in red all of the proposed drilling and spacing units that are the subject of these cases today. It also reflects in blue the unit outlines that are within this area, and it also outlines in green the different fields within this area.
Okay, and let's go to L2.
L2 is a detailed land plat of sections 8 and 17. It reflects the various tracts that comprise these two sections and also reflects the mineral ownership.
And exhibit L3. Jim, L3?
L3 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 8 and 17. It reflects the working interest of the two sections, and it shows that Continental Resources has a working interest of 34.90%. It also reflects the various leasehold ownership within the tracts that comprise the two sections.
Now, exhibit L4, once again, as in the previous case, that's really a continuation of L3, is it not?
That is correct.
And that's also the case with respect to L5, just a continuation?
That is correct.
Okay, let's go to exhibit L6.
Exhibit L6 is a detailed land plat of sections 20 and 29. This plat reflects the various tracts within the two sections, and it also reflects the mineral ownership within the various tracts.
Okay, and then let's just go to exhibit L7.
Exhibit L7 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 20 and 29. Reflects the working interest in the proposed unit. Shows a working interest of Continental Resources, 39.70%. It also reflects the various leasehold ownership within the tracts that comprise the two sections.
And exhibits L8 and L9 are, in essence, a continuation of exhibit L7.
That is correct.
Okay, and exhibit L10.
Exhibit L10 is a detailed land plat of sections 21 and 28. Reflects the various tracts that comprise the two sections. Also reflects the mineral ownership within the tracts.
And exhibit, let's just do it this way, Jimmy. Exhibits L11, L12, and L13. What are those?
That's a detailed ownership summary of sections 21 and 28. Reflects the working interest in the proposed unit area. It also reflects a working interest in the unit of Continental Resources, 37.85%, and also reflects the various leasehold ownership within the tracts.
And exhibit L14.
Exhibit L14 is a detailed land plat of sections 2 and 11. Reflects the various tracts that comprise up the two sections, and also reflects the mineral ownership within the two sections.
Okay, and exhibits L15 through L16. What's that?
That's a detailed ownership summary of sections 2 and 11. Reflects the working interest within the two sections. It shows a working interest of Continental Resources, 54.64%. It also reflects the detailed leasehold ownership within the tracts that comprise the two sections.
And L17.
L17 is a detailed land plat of sections 14 and 23. Reflects the various tracts that comprise the two sections. Also reflects the mineral ownership in the tracts.
And L18
and L19 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 14 and 23. Reflects the working interest that comprise the two sections. Reflects it also reflects a working interest of Continental Resources of 41.69%. And also reflects the various leasehold ownership within the tracts of the two sections.
And
L20, the detailed land plat of sections 24 and 25, reflects the various tracts that comprise the two sections. Also reflects the mineral ownership within the tracts.
And L21 and 22? Jim, let's go to L21 and 22.
L21 and 22 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 24 and 25. This exhibit reflects that Continental Resources has a 33.93% working interest in the proposed unit area. It also reflects the leasehold ownership that comprises the various tracts within the two sections.
L23
is a detailed land plat of sections 1 and 12. Reflects the various tracts that comprise the two sections, and it also reflects the various mineral ownership within the tracts.
And let's go to L24 and L25.
Exhibits L24 and 25 is a detailed ownership summary of sections 1 and 12, reflects the working interest that comprises the two sections, also reflects a working interest owned by Continental Resources of 42.16%. And it also reflects the detailed leasehold ownership that comprises the tracts.
And L26.
L26 is a detailed land plat of section 36 of 16295 West, and also of section 1 of Township 161 North, Range 95 West. This plat reflects the tracts that comprise the two sections, and it also reflects the mineral ownership within the tracts.
And then let's go to the last two land exhibits, L27 and L28.
L27 and L28 is a detailed ownership summary of the two sections. It also reflects the working interest in the proposed unit area and shows a working interest owned by Continental Resources of 34.37%. And it also shows the detailed leasehold ownership that comprises the various tracts.
Now, Jim, the commission is in receipt of a letter in which I also received a copy. It's from Murex Petroleum Corporation. Have you had an opportunity to review that letter?
Yes, I have.
It's my understanding from reviewing the letter that Murex has some concerns that if these applications are granted that Continental has applied for, it may require Murex Petroleum Corporation to create some spacing units or drilling units that go across township lines. You certainly wouldn't have any objection to that, would you?
I would not have any objections to that at all.
Okay. And the commission is also in receipt of a letter from Mr. John Morrison, counsel for Galaxy Oil Company. Galaxy owns some interests in sections 8 and 17, actually in the southeast quarter of section 8, and there is there's a vertical well drilled in that section, the Toughness number 9-8 well. And Galaxy is requesting that vertical well remain on its existing 160-acre spacing unit. Does Continental have any objection to that?
We have no objection to that.
And Galaxy is also requesting that Continental maintain at least a 660-foot setback from that wellbore in drilling of its horizontal wellbores. Does Continental have any objection to that?
We have no objection to that either.
Other than these two letters, or let me rephrase that, is Continental aware of any objection to any of the requests that have been made in cases 89, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, and 89, 91?
I have not received any. Okay. Not aware of anything.
Okay. No other questions for the land witness.
Okay. Mr. Benner, we're going to go ahead and enter both of those letters into the record. Just to clarify, both of them are May 24th letters. One is from John Morrison on behalf of Galaxy Oil, correct?
That's
correct. And the other one is from Murex Petroleum, signed by Donald Kessel, Vice President. That's correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we have no objection to the letters being made part of the record.
Okay. Any staff questions for this witness?
Jim, this is Bruce Hicks. On a number of these, Continental has a lower than 50% working interest in the proposed spacing unit or drilling units. Is there a JOA sign designating Continental as the operator?
Bruce, there is not a JOA signed as of yet. There will be in the near future, and it will name Continental as operator.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll call your next witness.
Neil, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Let's go to G1 in this group of cases. Can you tell me what that is?
Sure. G1 is a Bakken structure map
And on that map, I've got existing field outlines in blue, the salmon color, kind of pinkish color, our existing units. The 1280s that we are requesting during this hearing are highlighted in yellow. And I go through all these, Lawrence, but should we forego that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. You also have the case numbers with respect to each one of the 1280s on this exhibit, is that right?
That's correct. I've got case number for each 1280 and also whether it's being proposed as a drilling unit or a Bakken spacing unit.
All right. That's fine. Let's go on to the next exhibit, which is exhibit G2.
All right. G2 is the cross-section that runs through the general vicinity of where we've requested our 1,280-acre spacing. It's a simple stratigraphic cross-section hung on the upper Bakken shale. Above the upper Bakken, we've got a lodgepole again. We've got the only difference here between this and the last case is we've got a well-developed lower Bakken shale, which is underlined by the three forks. Highlighted in the pink color is the area we have highlighted that to show where we want to target our lateral.
And just a couple more questions, Neil. In those situations where you're proposing to to extend field boundaries and amend field rules to bring in additional acreage, those lands would produce from the same common source supplies as any wells currently producing from those pools. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then just to confirm Mr. Cannon's testimony with respect to Galaxy's concerns about any well that Continental would drill, being at least 660 feet from its toughness number 9-8 well. Do you see any problems with that?
None whatsoever.
Okay. So all the questions I have for the geologic witness.
Staff questions?
Neil, this is Bruce Junker. On your cross-section exhibit, G2, it's obvious that the middle Bakken, at least your target area, diminishes as you go to the south. Is that something that is a concern on your proposed spacing units in the southern portion?
Yeah, I think the best way to address this is the area that we have identified as our target interval is really a drilling target, and of course it's identified by the cleaner gamma ray. So our real purpose in being there is being able to effectively and efficiently steer and drill the lateral. We do not think of it in terms of pay. So we believe that the entire interval, which includes the upper shale, the lower shale, as well as the middle member, to be what contributes. So similar to my testimony in prior cases, our suggestion is that it isn't really an indicator of reserves, net pay, nor will it necessarily be indicative of or control what rate we'll get.
Okay, you do plan on keeping your lateral in that cleanest portion at the game.
Correct, and if I could reiterate, it's purely for. It's more for steering purposes than anything else.
Okay, thank you. Where do you anticipate to begin drilling of these proposed spacing and drilling units?
We could be drilling by approximately the end of the year. We are moving a rig into what we call our Norse area, June 15th. We'll drill three initial wells. And then proceed with development.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Neil, this is Bruce Hicks. Do you have any order of development that you have planned yet?
Well, no. To be honest with you, Bruce, we don't. And the reason is we think that some of these areas are geologically quite different. Naturally, we want to look at the production, and our tendency, of course, is going to be to evaluate it and drill the very best, the wells with the best potential first.
So when you bring your rig in on June 15th, where is it going to initially end up?
We've got three locations right now in mind, but we don't have anything absolutely firm.
Okay. The Galaxy well, Neil, it's been perforated, I guess according to your exhibit G2, it looks like it's perfed all the way through that upper Bakken shale and through the middle. Is there any indication of where that 60,000 plus barrels of oil has come from?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's very difficult to tell the relative contribution of each individual member within the Bakken. We think fractures play a role. One thing for certain is with the permeabilities that we're seeing in this middle member, the contribution from the actual clean middle member is probably pretty small.
So geologically, do you see any reason to stay away from the well?
Well, yes. I mean, there's possible depletion around it, and we would want to maintain a distance away from that for that reason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll call you next, James.
Gene, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Exhibits E1 and E2, are those exhibits identical as what you presented in the previous case?
Yes, they are. I would only suggest that the typo be noted on the exhibit E1, where you should replace IRR, which is internal rate of return, for that ROR at 10%. That's a typo.
So all the testimony you presented in the previous case would be previous cases would be applicable here. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
No further questions of this witness.
Staff questions for this witness? We can move on to testimony in the next case.
Okay. The next case is case 8965. Once again, we're going to start out with the land witness, Jim Cannon. Jim, would you turn to Exhibit L1 and tell us what that is?
Yes, Exhibit L1 is a general locator map which identifies in red the area that will include the a proposed drilling unit. I will say that although all of Section 30 has been outlined in red, the proposed drilling unit will only be the northwest quarter of Section 30. Also, the general locator map outlines the various fields within this area, which are outlined in green, and the field names are identified in blue.
Okay, let's go to L2.
Exhibit L2 is a field map which reflects the in yellow the proposed spacing unit. It also identifies the various field outlines in green, and again, the field names are in blue.
And L3.
Exhibit L3 is a detailed land plat, which reflects the northwest quarter of Section 30. Reflects the various, there's two tracts which comprise the northwest quarter, and it also reflects the various leasehold ownership and within these two tracts. And it also shows the working interest of the two tracts and reflects the working interest of Continental Resources, 72.04%.
No further questions for the land witness.
Staff questions for this witness? Call your next witness.
Next witness is Bruce McPherson. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you state your name for the record?
Name is Bruce McPherson. Last name is spelled McPherson.
I don't believe this witness has been sworn.
Mr. McPherson, this is the hearing examiner. Do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. And Bruce, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed with Continental Resources Incorporated. I'm employed as a geologist.
Have you testified before the commission previously?
No.
What I'd like you to do, Bruce, is briefly highlight for us your educational background and work experience.
Okay. I went to the University of Tulsa, got my bachelor's degree in geology in 1984, got my master's in geology from University of Tulsa in 1989. I was employed by Unocal from 1990 to year 2002, and I've been working for Continental Resources since 2003 to present.
And in preparations for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant geologic matters concerning this request?
Yes.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
We'd offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Bruce, let's turn to G1 in the packet. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, G1 is a structure map on top of the Freiberg gamma ray marker. Contour interval is 25 feet. The field outlines are shown in red with the field names highlighted in yellow. The blue dashed lines are the units outlines with the unit names highlighted in blue. The proposed location is on starts on the surface location of section 19 and drills on to section 30 and is labeled as proposed location. The orange circles there are Mission Canyon producers, and green circles are Tyler producers.
Now, Bruce, this is a question probably would have been more appropriate to ask the land witness, but you're aware of the fact, are you not, that there's no surface occupancy in the northwest quarter of Section 30. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's why Continental Resources is proposing to locate the surface location in Section 19 and then drill directionally into section the northwest quarter, section 30. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's go on to your next exhibit, which is exhibit G2. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, G2 is a type log located. This type log comes from the well in the northern half of section 19, essentially due north of our proposed well. On that type log, it's you can see the red marker is the top of the Mission Canyon, and the Freiberg, the target zone we're planning to drill is the Freiberg egg. And the bottom marker is the Freiberg gamma ray marker.
And the engineering witness is going to go into this in a little bit more detail. This area is an area where you frequently encounter fractures. Is that correct?
We believe we do encounter fractures.
And what can you tell me about those fractures? Are they oil producing or water producing?
We hit fractures that seem to be mostly water bearing and have caused this problem.
And so what you'd like to do is try to avoid those fractures if you can.
Yes.
And like I said, the engineering witness is going to go into a little bit more detail about that. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, let's go to G3. Tell us what that is.
G3 is just to show you that the cross-section hung on the top of the Mission Canyon. It's showing that the Freiberg A interval is continuous over this area. It goes from the state 3611 south of our location to the type log location and back over to the east.
Wait, I don't have any other questions for the geologic witness.
Staff questions?
Bruce, this is Bruce Junker. Is the Freiberg A, is that the producing horizon in the area wells?
Yes. I believe there could be some other zones perfed in some of the other wells, but as I identified, most of the wells in that area are Freiberg A.
Okay, thank you.
Let's call your next witness.
Next witness is Mike Husband.
Mr. Husband?
Yes, sir.
You promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. Mike, state your name for the record. Spell your last name.
Mike Husband, the last name is spelled H-U-S-B-A-N-D.
And Mike, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Employed by Continental Resources as a reservoir engineer.
And you testified before the commission previously? You've testified before the commission previously?
Yes, sir.
And your qualifications have been accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, they have.
I'll offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Granted.
Mike, let's turn to E1. Tell us what that is.
This is a summary of basically the reserve and economic analysis of the proposed well.
Why don't you just briefly touch on the reserve calculations that you've done and the economics?
Okay. It's basically a two-part process. The reserves estimate, or the reserves in place, is basically a volumetric analysis from log parameters, assuming that we have an average thickness of 4 feet with the porosity of 15%. On 160 acres, it would result in just under 500,000 barrels of oil in place. The economics are based on analogy of offset production. From that offset production, we determine the decline parameters and IPs. That, and considering the cost, the results of that analysis indicate that we'd have an ultimate recovery of just under 170,000 barrels of oil, just under 100 million cubic feet of gas, and the payout just about 3.25 years.
So based on this exhibit, E1, and your testimony, it's your opinion that drilling for these reserves on a pattern of one horizontal, one well to 160 acres would be economic. Is that correct?
It would.
And the next witness is going to talk just a little bit more about why Continental is proposing 160-acre spacing. Is that right?
That is correct. Okay.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Husband.
Staff questions for this witness?
Mike, this is Bruce Hicks. Is the next witness going to talk about the casing program? Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You can call your next witness.
Next witness is Rob Love.
Mr. Love?
Yes.
Promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I didn't hear that.
This is the hearing examiner. Do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Rob, state your name for the record. Spell your last name.
Rob Love, L-O-V-E.
And by whom are you employed? In what capacity?
Continental Resources Operations Engineer.
Okay, and you've testified before this commission previously, have you not?
Yes, I have.
And you've had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, sir.
Offer the further testimony of this witness as that of an expert.
Motion granted.
Rob, you don't have a specific exhibit to discuss, but I'd like you to just briefly highlight for us your plans for, or Continental's plans for, drilling this Platinum Federal well, and then specifically highlighting why you're proposing to drill it on a pattern of one well to 160 acres.
We'll start out as a straight hole after setting casing below the Fox Hill, and our kickoff point will probably be right below the Dakota, and we'll drill directional to build angle and get some departure so that when we do land casing at 90 degrees in the Freiburg A, that we'll be more than 500 feet from the north line of section 30. And we'll set 7-inch casing there. And we'll drill out, and we'll drill a 6 1/8 lateral through the Freiburg A, and on a south-southwest azimuth. And the attempt here is to drill a lateral that's got enough exposure to the Freiburg to allow it to produce economically, but also not far enough that we encounter potentially some of those water-bearing fractures that we've encountered in the area.
I don't have any other questions for Mr. Love.
Staff questions?
Rob, this is Bruce Hicks. What direction do the fractures trend?
I don't believe any of us have any idea, Bruce.
So these fractures, these water-bearing fractures, have been encountered by wells that have been drilled northeast, southwest, and opposite, northwest, southeast.
The only wells in the area that we have drilled have been northeast, southwest. I can't tell you at what angle that we encountered those fractures. I know that we attempted to work on our Michelle well in the area, and it, you know, I know that there was some water-bearing fractures, and we did identify some of them, but at the well bore, we couldn't tell you at what angle they were crossing.
In what direction was that well drilled?
Northeast, southwest.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this witness? Do you have any other witnesses?
No, nothing further in any of the cases at this time, Mr. Examiner. We would offer each one of the exhibits that were identified by the various witnesses in all the cases that are currently before the commission.
All of the exhibits are received. Anything else from anyone on this? Any of these cases? If not, that closes the hearing on case numbers 8984, 8986, 8987, 8988, 8989, 8990, 8991, and 8965. And we'll move back to